From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua as he commences a message entitled, Christ the Mighty Conqueror. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Our devotional for today is entitled, Home Blessings. The text is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. He blesseth the habitation of the just. He fears the Lord, and therefore he comes under the divine protection, even as to the roof which covers himself and his family. His home is an abode of love, a school of holy training, and a place of heavenly light. In it there is a family altar, where the name of the Lord is daily had in reverence. Therefore the Lord blesses his habitation. It may be a humble cottage or a lordly mansion, but the Lord's blessing comes because of the character of the inhabitant and not because of the size of the dwelling. That house is most blessed in which the master and mistress are God-fearing people. But a son or daughter or even a servant may bring a blessing on a whole household. The Lord often preserves, prospers, and provides for a family for the sake of one or two in it, who are just persons in His esteem, because His grace has made them so. Beloved, let us have Jesus for our constant guest, even as the sisters of Bethany had, and then we shall be blessed indeed. Let us look to it that in all things we are just, in our trade, in our judgment of others, in our treatment of neighbors, and in our own personal character. A just God cannot bless unjust transactions.
I shall never hunger, all my
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Chapter 11 of Joshua contains a summary of Israel's conquest of the land of Canaan. The writer records Joshua's adherence to the commands which Moses had given regarding the land. He was faithful in carrying out the divine program for conquest, and after the wars, the land had rest. Throughout this series, Dr. Cairns has drawn many spiritual lessons from the various events in the book. In this message, he points out a number of parallels between Joshua and our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that Joshua's mission was a picture of Christ's mission. Each one had a great mission, to secure the promised land and to lead God's people into it. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message called Christ the Mighty Conqueror.
Joshua chapter 11, and we will read from verse 7. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Misrephoth-Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hawked their horses and burned their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burned Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take, and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burnt none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities, and the cattle, the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword, until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. And as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen, and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the Seim, even from Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. And all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. And Joshua made a war a long time with those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron and from Debir and from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The 11th chapter of Joshua is the history of Joshua's capture of the land which the Lord had long promised to the children of Israel. It is particularly the story of how he destroyed Jabin, the king of a very important defense city in the north, the city of Hazor, how he took possession then of the whole land, defeating every foe, north, south, east, and west, especially the mighty giants, the Anakim, who had so terrified the spies whom Moses had sent so many years before. The chapter commences with war, and it ends with rest. It starts with the possession of the children of Israel disputed by very forceful enemies. And it ends with that possession in their hands and the enemies laid low in the dust. The general picture is important, but the details are also important. Jabin, the powerful king of Hazor, gathered around him a strong coalition of forces, determined to resist Joshua to the end, and if possible, to drive him back out of the land. Those forces were mighty in number, as I described to you last week. They were better equipped than any force that Joshua and the children of Israel had thus far met in the land of Canaan. They had the implements of war that must have struck great fear into the hearts of any foes. But with a sudden strike, that seems to have been, on a human level, the mark of Joshua's military genius. He reminds me of some modern military tacticians. Joshua, again in purely human terms, was years ahead of his time. Joshua was a military commander who knew the value of the sudden strike that took the enemy by surprise. He was never predictable. He knew what it was to march armies over great distances through rough terrain. He was like a Hannibal long before the time of Hannibal. When I read of Joshua, my mind goes very naturally to the tactics of Napoleon, many, many centuries before Napoleon. On a human level then, he came very suddenly, and he, with that strike, overthrew Jabin and his hosts, as Moses, the man of God, had commanded. And he went on to bring the entire land under his control. Verse 23 says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Now, in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul tells us that Joshua did not give Israel the rest that the Lord had promised from the times of Abraham. Now, think of that carefully. The book of Joshua tells us how he gave them rest. The book of Hebrews says that Joshua did not give them the rest that the Lord had promised. Verse 8 of Hebrews 4, if Jesus, that is Joshua, had given them rest, then would he, that is God, not afterward have spoken of another day. When you put all the facts together, you learn something very significant. The rest that Joshua gave to Israel was merely symbolic. It was typical of the true rest that God still had in store for His people. And that true rest must be provided by a greater Joshua, even him who bore the same name, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what the first Joshua did provides us with a very vivid picture of the work of the second Joshua, the greater Joshua, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the significance of the text that we have read today, the portion of Scripture in Joshua 11, as I want to set it before you. The meaning is simply this, that Joshua 11 points us to a greater Joshua fighting a greater Jabin and winning a greater victory to put his people in possession of a greater rest and a better inheritance. In other words, as you read the history, and I emphasize that what we have been reading is serious history, but as you read the history of Joshua 11, on the authority of the inspired apostle in Hebrews 4, we can lift the history to a spiritual plane and we can see a great spiritual message concerning the greater Joshua. What we have in Joshua 11 is a picture of our triumphant Savior. It speaks to us of Christ, the mighty conqueror. As we look at this, I want very simply to draw a few parallels that are very, very obvious between Joshua and Jesus our Savior. First of all, Joshua's mission is a picture of Christ's mission. Joshua really had only one great mission. He did many things, but he had one great mission. That was to procure the promised land for his people and then to lead those people into the possession of it. Joshua kept that in mind from the very beginning, but it must have come into very sharp focus as he faced the concentrated forces of Jabin and all his hosts. Joshua's task, as that great host stood against him, Joshua's task was to do all that was necessary, to take a collection of slaves and wanderers and make them the possessors of the choice provision of God. That was Joshua's task. To lead them from famine into fullness, from the wilderness into the wonder of God's provision according to the terms of God's covenant of grace. That was the mission of Joshua. And you know, that mission of mercy is, though great in itself, only a dim foreshadowing of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul spoke of that mission. And he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Lord Jesus himself said, as he met with the wicked publican Zacchaeus and made him a new creature through grace, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, Paul reflected on the purpose of Christ in coming into the world. And he said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That was the purpose of Christ. Now, when he came into the world, the Lord Jesus did a multitude of things. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, life to the dead, food to the hungry. He brought hope to the hopeless, happiness to the miserable. He did many, many things. But in doing all those things, he had before him the one great, ultimate, overarching purpose. That was to take men out of slavery into salvation, to bring them from the power of Satan unto God, to bring them from ruin to redemption by virtue of his own almighty sacrifice. That purpose is something the Savior never lost sight of. Just as Joshua had his purpose in mind every step that he took, so did Christ. Every step that he took, it lived with him every mile of life's journey. But as the cross loomed ever more largely before him, the Savior knew that the fateful time had come to complete the mission which he had begun. Thus, he kept on making references to his hour. His hour. And then he said, the hour is come. The hour is come. The hour to be baptized with the baptism of death. The hour to drink the cup of God's wrath against sinners who had broken his law. The hour to finish the work which the Father had given to him to do. That was his mission. And it led him to the depths of spiritual conflict, to a battlefield more trying than that between Joshua and Jabin. To a battlefield where greater issues were at stake, greater forces took the field, and the victory was all the more important. It led him to suffer, to bleed, to die. But thank God, when the battle smoke had cleared, the third day he rose again from the dead to give us life eternal. That was the mission of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge.
simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.